CliffCentral.com.
Gigi is one of those people who seem like they've lived nine lives all wrapped up in one. She's been a budding actress. She got into the world of erotic dancing, and she's one of the biggest strip club bosses in the country. She has so many stories to share, and I'm glad that she got to make some time for us. Here she is, Pearl van Schalkwyk, a.k.a. Gigi. How are you?
I am very frustrated. I'm sitting in, I've been on lockdown and we haven't opened up, so many girls are asking for their jobs back. Very frustrated.
So you're talking about the Lollipop Lounge, right?
Yes, yes.
So, all right, when I met you years ago, you were still dancing. You were still a dancer yourself.
Yeah. I danced for 15 years.
I know. I mean, that's, yeah. I remember you were obviously one of the best dancers in the country. People knew your name. Everybody knew who you were. But it was obviously a hell of a road before that. So I want to start right at the beginning. You actually went to university in Stellenbosch. You got a drama degree. You were performing as an actress for a long time, and you joined an anti-drug school show for a little bit. So this all sounds very very safe and very decent and very nice. But then you actually joined executive shows as a dancer, and you danced with them for 15 years, as you've just said. 1997, you won Penthouse Pet of the Year. That was a big deal then, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was great. I mean, and we were flown to the Seychelles. We did some shoots in all over, Mauritius. And the great thing was there was so much money for things like that in those years.
Yeah.
It was good times. It was good years.
I mean, magazines were a big enterprise, and if you were the Penthouse Pet of the Year, you were the most important woman in adult entertainment in South Africa, right?
It was a great title, and it was a great title to have, especially when it came to the dancing. So I got more shows, more bachelor parties. I was very well known for the bachelor parties those years.
Right.
And it was safe. It was safe to do those shows. You know, it was safe to go around and do it. Now times has changed, and you know, I think it's just safer for the girls to work in a club at the moment.
Yeah, tell me about what you've seen in terms of changes, because you really have experienced it inside and out. And I think that for a lot of people, there's the fantasy element, but there's also that element of fear and of danger and of the dark side of these things, and a lot of men who take advantage, and the money and the drugs and all the rest of it. So tell me now, in terms of the way you look back on your life, how much has happened and all the people you've met and the things you've done, what for you have been the highlights and the lowlights, just off the top of your head?
Well, one of the highlights definitely was experiencing the old Heilbron and working in the clubs in Heilbron. And the people that I met along the way there, it was a great, great place. And I think that's all gone. And also all the little clubs on the East Rand and the nightclubs on the East Rand. And it was amazing time. And you could travel from the one club to the next club, and you met the club owners and the other dancers that worked with us. The shows were glamorous, a lot of diamante on the costumes. It was great times, and we danced downtown in Joburg. The clubs were packed with people. Yeah, it was wonderful.
I remember you also got involved with Dion Opperman when he wrote Nipple Caps and G-Strings, right?
I met Dion Opperman when I was table dancing at the Tilly Twister, which was also a magnificent club. I mean, there's never been another club like the Tilly Twister.
I loved the Tilly Twister. I remember that. That was Andrew's first club before he opened up the Grand.
Yes, and yeah, I danced there. I first danced for Andrew on the ranch side. He built a beautiful theatre there, and 11 o'clock at night, he had 11 girls on stage, and that's how I met him. I danced the same song 3 years in a row, Mustang Sally, every night. And from there, he built the Tilly Twister. Then I danced for him at the Tilly Twister, and I met Dion at the Twister. And I performed Nipple Caps and G-Strings. Dion wrote Nipple Caps and G-Strings for me. And I performed it for 10 years all over the country at all the festivals. I was so honored to do that, you know.
That's amazing. And also because you could combine all the acting stuff and the dancing, right?
A full circle, because I could combine my theatrical background with the knowledge that I have got of the strip clubs. And also, the show was really directed towards women, and to tell women to fantasize more in marriages and to come to the clubs like the Lollipop Lounge now and come and sit down and watch the girls on stage, because they're so powerful when they're on stage. And they experience, they play around with their sensuality, and they've got such, you know, they're such incredible performers. But we see more and more married couples that come over the weekend and sit down and watch the girls and have a dance together. Because when you're dancing for a married couple, you really are dancing for the woman. And it's so nice to dance for a woman, I must say. But you're actually doing a show for the husband as well, because men just love to see two women touching each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, Gigi, like the most, I keep calling you Gigi, I hope you don't mind. The attitudes to sex have changed quite a lot over the years too. And this is where I really need your experience to help me understand how much it's changed. When you started dancing, it was very much a taboo thing. People didn't tell people that they'd been to a strip club. Now I think everybody is kind of open and honest about it. There are obviously still, for a lot of people, some taboos around it. They're conservative people in society. But the idea of adult entertainment, of dancers, of strippers, of sex, of, you know, having a nightlife that's exciting like that, all of that is very different to the way it was when you started in the 90s, right?
Yeah, a lot of girls, they never spoke about what they did, and they were shy about what they did. Now we advertise for dancers on campus. We've got so many girls coming in that's stripping to make money, putting self through varsity, well-educated girls. And the whole thing about strippers has just changed. I think it doesn't really matter where you get your... These girls are earning good money, but it's a very special type of girl that can become a stripper. It's not... She's got to be an extroverted girl with a good body. That helps. And so it's not every girl that can become a... I always tell new girls that come in, if you need to drink to dance, you're not a dancer. If you like what you do, you have to like the idea of taking your clothes off and performing, then you're going to make it.
And these girls have to be tough, right? They can't be weak. They can't be these soft... Yeah, it's really hard, because there are things where you have to stand up for yourself and you have to be confident, and you also have to be able to say no. And you have to deal with a lot of men who don't know the rules.
The thing is, it's a hard industry. It's long hours. The competition is fierce. When you're working in a club with about 30 or 40 girls, there's maybe about 10 girls that's stunning girls. And you've got to compete with these girls. Mm. And also, you know, the competition between the girls are fierce as well. And it's going to be even harder now, I think, when we go back and I reopen the club, because I'm waiting for the curfew to go. I cannot run a strip club until 9 o'clock in the evening. I can't do that. And, you know, so it's a very hard industry, but it's a rewarding industry. I've done it. I've danced for 15 years, and I made a career out of it, and I bought property, and I'm in the fortunate position now to run a business. It's not a normal... If you don't have experience to run a strip club, then don't even think of venturing into anything like that.
Now, you've got other businesses too. I mean, you've been busy with a lot of things. You opened a Fynbos distillery, a craft distillery. You said property is part of your interest. Tell me about some of these other things that have nothing to do with, you know, the dancing or the clubs.
Mike and myself, my co-partner at the Lollipop Lounge, is my husband now. So the two of us has got a couple of guest houses. We've got a guest house in Randburg, and we've got guest houses here in Cape Town. My idea of what we did with the guest house in Randburg was to make it like a little boutique hotel. So we've got guests that stay there, but they stay only on long term. And then we provide the toweling and fresh, we make up the beds, and we do their kitchens and everything. So we've got people that's been with us for many years staying in the guest house. And also at the beginning I built the house for the dancers, but then it turned out so lovely. So we're very proud of the guest house in Randburg. And then here in Cape Town, I've got the guest houses here. And then Fynbos, the store, you know, many years ago, Andrew at the ranch, he said to me, Shishi, there's only money in two things. There's money in girls and there's money in alcohol.
Yeah.
And so then it just happened that there was a little distill on the Sir Robert Stanford estate here in Stanford. And I loved this place. It overlooked the dam. It was such a unique little building, like a Mexican taparna. And I went to Jan because the little distill closed down, and the owner of the farm. And I said to him, Jan, this is just a magnificent little building. Mm-hmm. You can't close this distill. And then he said to me, Shishi, I know nothing of distilling. And then I said to Michael, let's start opening this thing again. And so we went on distilling courses. We put our staff through distilling courses. Now we bought a little mini factory, a bigger premises. So we're not on the Sir Robert Stanford estate anymore, but we're in the industrial area of Stanford. Mm-hmm. And we have now produced award-winning gins, craft gins, and very nice limoncello, grappas. We make white liqueurs. I just love it.
It's fantastic.
And also, we use, what the magic of making spirits is that we're using all the offcuts that after the farmers has all the grapes and all the skins and all that stuff, and we ferment it. And but I'm working with a great distiller now, Isaac van der Walt. He's come up from Centurion, him and his wife, they live in Stanford. So I'm working with these really, really interesting people, and I just love the smell of fermentation.
Yeah, I mean, listen, making alcohol, that's a very specialized thing. And once you get into it, I think it must be one of the most exciting things, because you can really turn anything into alcohol, right?
Yes, it's very exciting. And our product, and also working with the young people of Stanford, all our waitresses, all our chefs, everybody lives in Stanford across the road. They just walk to work. It's interesting to work with the young people in the area.
So didn't you win Survivor in, like, 2010 or something?
Yes, 2010, yeah.
Feels like such a long time ago.
Yeah,
fun though. I mean, it must have been a very different experience, but I mean, no sweat for you, because you've done much harder stuff than that. What was that?
It's not fun doing Survivor. It was really tough, you know. Everybody thought, like, okay, you go back to the hotel in the evening, but we were very dirty and very skinny, and after I came back from the island, I couldn't eat normal meals for a while, because your body had to adapt. Jeez. Yeah, it was hard.
So where do you live at the moment? Where do you spend most of your time?
For lockdown, I packed up the car with my two dogs. I said to Mike, we're going to spend lockdown in here in Franschhoek, in Franschhoek. And I've been here 5 months. I normally come down here for maybe 2 weeks the most. And we've been here 5 months, and it's been an incredible experience, and it's going to be hard going back to Joburg.
Yeah. Mm. You mentioned the dogs. How many are there?
Two. My pit bull and my border collie. She's lying next to me now.
So you're still in regular contact with Elna, who's a mutual friend of ours. Dr. Yes. Elna McIntosh is terrific.
I've worked with Elna. I met her many years ago at the ranch. She worked with the girls there. She's a great woman. And whenever I've got a problem with the girls, I always say, please go and see Elna. Yeah, so she's wonderful to know. Yeah, she's got a great knowledge.
Yeah.
And I've spent my lockdown so well, because I've been writing the book, Captain G Springs, the book. And I've been working with Melinda Ferguson and Nan Vu. These are such powerful girls. It was such a... And I'm so proud of the book now. The book is going to come out in October.
Excellent.
And it gave me time to finish the book. Yeah, I've used my time wisely.
So can I ask you something about the girls quickly? Because I don't want to sound insensitive about this, but we're going through tough economic times. And for many people, this is a line of work that will open up to them, because it's one of the things that they know they can do. You know, you get some girl who's in good shape. She knows that there are lots of men who will pay money to see her dance. Are you seeing an uptick in the number of auditions, girls who are coming to you this year?
So many. This morning, 6 o'clock, I had about 3 photos coming through. Last night, I've had so many girls phoning me. They're clearly filled with girls. But the unfortunate thing is, I just hope customers out there is going to have enough money to spend on all of them, because there's going to be so many beautiful girls. And South Africa has got the most beautiful, beautiful girls. So I think it's going to be really exciting times. And I think the men in South Africa is going to be spoiled to see the quality and the class of the girls that's going to be out there in the clubs.
What do you tell the girls who work with you who have relationships? Because that's a very hard thing to manage. How do you tell them to get their relationships to survive at the same time as they're doing the dancing?
And that's what I write about in my book. My first marriage didn't work out because of my dancing, and I talk about that. Because we were really like ships that passed each other in the night. But if you don't, you've got to have a lot of trust in a relationship. If you want to tell your partner that I want to become a stripper, he's got to really trust you. He's got to understand, you know, dancing is like smelling a great plate of food.
Yeah.
You know, you smell it if you eat at home. And if your partner don't understand that, then it's not going to work. If there's jealousy involved, it's not going to work. We do not allow boyfriends at all in the clubs.
Yeah.
And sometimes the girls keep it secret, and all of a sudden we see the same guy coming in all the time, and she's spending a lot of time talking to him. Then you've got to figure out, is this now the boyfriend that's sitting there, or what's going on? But it's unproductive to have boyfriends in the clubs, sitting around in the club.
What are the other rules that people who aren't in the dancing world won't know about that these girls have to comply with? I mean, like, what kinds of rules do you have at Lollipop Lounge for the girls?
Well, it's this, whether you're working in the bank or whether you're dancing at Lollipop Lounge, there's rules, there's house rules. So we're very strict about what time they need to come in. You know, if they because we allow them to drink with the guys, but if she's had too much to drink, then we can take you off the floor and tell you rather to go home. So every club has got its own set of house rules, and if you become a dancer, you're going to need to abide to those rules, because we've been doing this for many, many years, and we've worked with so many girls, and like I at Lollipop Lounge, and I've got a gag order, and I brought the gag order after Survivor, because they gave us a gag order in between competitions where you weren't allowed to talk to each other. And I have a gag order in my dressing room at when the girls, it all get dressed at 2 o'clock in the morning. We close the bar and the girls come in, and they know that there's no talking allowed in that dressing room, because a girl that can't talk cannot fight. So I know that sounds harsh to some people, but at the end of the night, everybody's really tired. And I think it's better if we just do not talk, and then we all go home and we all do the same thing the next day, all over.
Hang on, you mean a gag order for the girls not to talk to each other, or you mean that they don't talk about the guys who come into the club?
No, they're not allowed to talk to each other at all, because, you know, a lot of times there's a lot of competition about you took my client and you did this, and that's why I'm very strict. There's a no gag order in my dressing room.
Wow. Okay, I didn't know about that. That's fascinating.
A girl that can't talk can't fight.
And women will find reasons to argue, right?
Of course, because there's it's about money. I mean, that's why. Otherwise, you're wasting your time in the strip club. Jeez. Everybody's there to make money, and there's huge competition between the girls. Yeah.
Yeah. That competition, does it ever get to a stage where girls are doing things that you would not approve of in order to one up the other girls or to get more money?
I don't allow the girls on their cell phones. They're not allowed to have their cell phones out. They're not allowed to take numbers of customers. So that's house rules. There's a couple of things that I don't allow them to do. I don't allow stilettos on my furniture, because it's costing a lot of money to reupholster the furniture.
Absolutely. No, that's a good point.
All little stuff. I also do not allow my bouncers to go out with my dancers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so those rules are there in place because I've learned a lot of stuff over the years.
What is the most money that you've ever heard a girl make in one night? And what is the low end of that? I mean, can a girl leave after being in the club for like 3 hours with zero money?
I've heard of a girl that made 100,000 rand one night.
100,000 rand in one night.
100,000 rand, and I call it 100,000 rand girl. And now during lockdown, I found it so funny because she phoned me and she was like, Gigi, what must I do? I'm eating 2-minute noodles here and I've got to clean the house. What must I do? How long are we going to sit like this? And I, yeah. So, but the course can make a lot of money, and especially if you dedicate it, if you hang in there, because you never know, it's a gamble. You know, you've got to work Mondays to Saturday nights, and you can have a client coming in on a Tuesday night and spending a lot of money on you, and you might be lucky. And dancing is a gamble, that's what it is.
So Gigi, what can you give as tips for ordinary girls who want to spice up their own relationships or sex lives at home? What kinds of, like, how does a stripper prepare when she's getting ready in the dressing room for the guys who are coming in? And how can women who are at home with a husband or a boyfriend learn things that they can do in the house as well that'll just spice things up a little bit? Maybe it's to do with smells or with creams or with the way that you dance or the way that you listen or the way you respond. Or, and obviously this goes for guys too, in terms of trying to spice up the sex life for their girlfriend or wife.
Yeah, I always tell the girls that being a stripper is not about being the best dancer. It's about being the best listener. Because I've got a lot of guys coming into the club, sitting down, just talking to the girls. And I think a lot of times people, even in a relationship, in a marriage, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of fantasy, a little bit of role-playing, putting on something sexy, putting them in a bath, massaging each other. But really listening to each other is important. Because people don't spend enough time. I think in a marriage, people, like in my first marriage, I didn't spend a lot of time with my husband. Yeah. He was traveling. He was traveling most of the time. I was dancing all the time. I never listened to him. He never listened to me, you know. And I think if people just spend more quality time together and go to a strip club and go have a dance, go and take the girls for a dance as a married couple, it's a lot of fun.
Okay, but there are a lot of women who don't understand that, and they think that if their husband takes them to a strip club, it's going to be awkward and uncomfortable and weird, and they're not going to enjoy it.
Yes, but talk about that first. First, talk about if you as a male has always been had a fascination with. It's really nice to see two girls being close to each other, and a woman's skin is so nice and it's soft and it smells good. But just experiment with different things, I think. But just start with a little massage for each other at home, drawing a bath and spending some time and putting some candles on and stuff like that.
Okay.
And then come. We get so many group of girls coming in just by themselves and jumping on stage and just experimenting with the sensuality. Sometimes we can't get these girls off the stage. They enjoy it so much.
Yeah. No, it's amazing how sometimes you get a little bit of a taste of it, and some of these girls really like it, huh?
Yes, yes. Yeah. So we see more and more women coming into the club together in groups. We see more married couples coming in together. But there's really a place for a strip club to, you know, I think it's a bit of marriage counseling in a strip club to spice up things, spice up your married life.
Best stripper song in the world? I mean, you mentioned Mustang Sally, which was yours, but
Sally Ride.
Are there some other songs that you think of that you like? Yo, that's a great song to strip to.
I love Hotel California. I love Hotel California. I think that's a great strip song.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like the old rock stuff. You know, the old rock songs is good.
Absolutely.
You know, you've got to have a song with attitude to use as a stripping song. But Mustang Sally is my all-time favorite.
And for a lot of these girls, if you become a dancer, that doesn't mean that you're going to stay a dancer forever. Some of them do it for a short time. Some of them do it for much longer. You've gone ahead and proven that you can become a businesswoman. You can open up your own venue. You can become a property mogul. All of this stuff is possible. It doesn't have to be a one-track thing. So for a lot of girls who are trying to decide whether or not they're going to be strippers or not, they're worried that that's going to be the story of their life forever.
No, there's a lot of, I mean, it's mostly in the evenings when the clubs are open. So you can do other things in the day. You can still study and put yourself in varsity with your money that you make as a stripper. That's what I see now. That's what a lot of the girls are doing. But if you dance with a dream, if you have your eyes on a dream and you come in and you put your money away and you save your money, anything is possible. You can buy your first car, get rid of the loser boyfriend, decide when you want to have your babies. I've got a lot of girls are single parents and they look after their kids so well, and the kids are in very good schools. They dance for their kids. So everybody's got a different ideal and a different goal. But there's definitely money to be made in strip club. And if you're a young girl and you don't need to take drugs or drink to dance, well, then this is the perfect job for you to make extra money.
Well, I hope you're going to make many other dreams come true like yours have. And it's always lovely to speak to you. And I hope we'll see you soon in studio.
Thank you. Thanks, Gareth.
Love you lots. Be good, Gigi. Thank you.
Bye. CliffCentral.com.